Grant tapped him on the arm. "Send two," he repeated. "Redundancy." Even though one capsule could hold all the data they had recorded, Grant wanted to take no chances of that lone capsule failing. Briefly, he thought about sending all four of the remaining capsules, but he decided two would be sufficient. Keep recording data with a few sensors still working. Send the final two when the last moment comes. Turning his attention back to the sensors, Grant saw that the whales were some distance above them now. The Jovians were hovering around their wounded comrade, flashing lights back and forth with blinding speed. Grant got the impression they were jabbering to each other. Two of them glided downward, lights flashing along their mountainous flanks. "Are they trying to communicate with us?" The thought startled Grant. Shenghe was still sinking slowly into the depths, despite Grant's feeble efforts to get the submersible under control once again. The ship's systems were not responding to Grant's commands. No matter how he worked the touchscreens, the submersible continued to spiral slowly deeper. "Backups," Grant thought. "There are supposed to be backups for each of the main systems. But most of them were out of action, too," he saw. Several more Jovians coasted down toward the sub, Grant saw, swimming in gigantic circles around the wounded little submersible, flashing their lights in endless complex patterns. "Are they trying to communicate with us?" Grant asked himself again. Almost without thinking consciously about it, he turned on the sub's outside lights. Only two of them still worked, and one of them flickered dimly. And the whale's matched its flicker rate exactly in less than a heartbeat. Grant gasped with awe. The pictures running along the whale's immense flanks were far too complex for Grant to understand, but they were flashing on and off at the same rate as the damaged lamp's flicker. "Mimicry or intelligence?" Grant asked himself. Carlstead's nudge against his shoulder startled Grant. "Get us up," Egon had typed on his console screen. "I can't," Grant confessed silently. "I can't." But his fingers typed, "trying." Grant ran a quick diagnostic. His heart sank as the results flashed across his closed eyelids. The thrusters were close to catastrophic failure. The crack in the outer hull was spreading, branching like a crack in an ice-covered pond. The inner hulls were still intact, but the pressure was building. It was only a matter of minutes before they started to break up. Worst of all, the sub was still spiraling downward, its steering vanes useless, its control jets too weak to stop its sinking spin. "We're finished," Grant said. He couldn't hear the words. Neither could Carlstead, a meter away, who launched both the data capsules at that precise moment.
Leviathan. The stranger was trying to talk to them, Leviathan saw. Its language was odd, one steady light and one flashing on and off in an irregular rhythm. What could it mean? Leviathan nosed deeper, watching as the stranger slowly spiraled down toward the hot abyss. Several of the kin circled near it, watching, calling to it, trying to imitate its enigmatic signals. "It is hurt," Leviathan flashed to the kin. "Yes, it seems so," one of the elders agreed. "It no longer boils the water." Still they did nothing but watch. Sinking into the hot abyss will kill it, Leviathan thought. It came from the cold above. It must be so hurt that it cannot control itself. "It will die," he said to the elders. Swimming patiently around the wounded Leviathan, the elders replied in unison, "Perhaps it will begin to bud." "It is too small to bud," Leviathan said. "How can you know that? This strange creature has its own ways, undoubtedly." "We cannot allow it to die without trying to help it," Leviathan insisted. "Help it? How?" "Help it to go up toward the abyss above where it came from." "What good will that do?" "That is its home. Even if it must die, we can help it to die in the realm of its origin." The elders turned dark, thinking. New ideas were difficult for them to accept. Leviathan decided not to wait for them to make up their minds.
Salvation. Grant felt as if his entire body were in a vice that was slowly crushing him. Dimly, he remembered that the Puritans in Massachusetts had crushed a man with heavy stones during the Salem witchcraft hysteria. He started to pray. But the thought that flooded his mind was, I don't want to die. Oh God, God, don't make me die. Don't kill me here in this dark and distant sea. Help me. Help me. Karlstead hovered beside him, eyes blank and staring at whatever inner universe that filled his soul, his body curled into a weightless, fetal posture. He's given up, Grant thought. He knows we're going to die. Still, Grant's fingers raced across the touch screens, seeking some measure of control over the sinking submersible, picking out links to the backup systems, trying to bring the auxiliaries online. Help me, God, he pleaded. Don't tell me this ocean is beyond your realm. God of the universe, help me. The ship shuddered. Instinctively, Grant looked up, then turned toward Karlstead. Egon blinked, stirred. The bridge seemed to tilt, then righted itself. Grant floated free of his one intact floor loop, then his feet touched the deck once more. Closing his eyes, he tried to see outside through the few sensors still working. Nothing. Only a mottled gray. The ship quivered again, swayed. One of the glowering red lights on Grant's console suddenly turned amber, and then green. Peering through the ship's sensors, Grant realized that what he was seeing was the immense stretch of a Jovian, so close that it was actually touching the ship, nudging it gently, like an elephant delicately balancing a baby carriage on its back. Grant could hardly breathe. Glancing at his battered console, he saw that the green light was the attitude indicator. Shanghai was no longer spiraling downward. He reached across and shook Karlstead by the shoulder, then typed, Sensors. Egon licked his lips, purely a reflex in their liquid surroundings, then tapped into the sensors. Grant squeezed his eyes shut and saw that the sub was resting on the gigantic back of one of the whales. No, not just any one of them. It was the Jovian who'd been attacked by the sharks. Grant could see wide swaths of raw flesh where the sharks had ripped away its skin. We rising? Karlstead asked. Yes. Grant's heart was hammering beneath his ribs. A guardian angel. A million-ton, 10-kilometer-long Jovian guardian angel is carrying us up and out? His elation snapped off. The Jovian can't carry us out of the ocean. It can't fly us home. The thrusters. Grant checked the entire power and propulsion systems. The fusion generator was undamaged, working normally. The thrusters, could they last long enough to push them out of the ocean, through the atmosphere and clouds, out into orbit? Data capsules, Grant typed. Even if we don't make it, we have to give them all our information. He banged away on his keyboard as Karlstead prepared the last pair of data capsules. They were rising swiftly now. Through the ship's sensors, Grant could see the entire community of Jovians swimming around them, sleek and smooth, making hardly a ripple as they propelled themselves through the sea far faster than Shanghai could have gone on its own. The Jovians flashed signals back and forth among themselves. Pictures, Grant was certain, hoping that the ship's cameras were still working well enough to record it all. The thrusters were still shut down. Can I power them up without causing them to fail? Then a new thought struck him. I can't power them up while we're riding on the Jovian's back. The superheated steam would hurt him. Would it? Yes, of course it would, Grant told himself. The Jovian's made of flesh. Its skin isn't a heat shield. You killed a couple of the sharks with the thruster's exhaust. Of course it'll hurt the Jovian.